Hey ho, folks. Welcome to Hockey Talk, and thanks for listening. I'm Andy Clark, your host. Our show is produced by Adam Olivero, and we want to give acknowledgement to Jennifer Jacot Photography for providing the image to promo this episode. Upcoming, we have an interview with Sammy Douglas Najum, who has a wealth of junior hockey experience all the way from OHL to PJHL. A lot of great stories along the way. After that, Tim Woods joins us for a pack break, and then I'll wrap things up with some news and notes at the other end. This is CastBox episode 124. I hope you're having a great time getting ready for the holiday season in this snowy December. And thanks again for listening, and I'll let you dive right into our interview with current Walkerding Capital and one-time Niagara Ice Dog, Sammy Douglas Najum. Hey folks, Andy Clark here on a cold December night in the Walkerding Coliseum, where the Hanover Barons are going to be visiting the Walkerding Capital shortly. And here I'm talking to Sammy Douglas Najum. Thanks for talking to us, Sammy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast.
And so Sammy, you're currently skating with the Walkerding Capitals, but you bring a wealth of junior hockey experience. If you count playoffs, you played more than 100 games in GOJHL, more than 100 in Tier 2 Junior A, and also have a little bit of experience in the OHL. So tell us a little bit about your pathway. How did you end up playing with Walkerding this year?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate with my junior career. Luckily, I mean, knock on wood, I haven't had any major injuries. But, you know, first time I started playing junior, I was told you're going to want to play as long as you possibly can. And I've definitely found that to be the case. So I figured I could either be done with hockey or I could continue playing junior one last year. So, you know, since Junior C has that 21-year-old spot, I figured why not? You know, I'd probably regret not doing it in the end. So, yeah, I was fortunate enough to find a spot here with Walkerton.
Very cool. And you're listed also with University of Waterloo, where I understand you're a student. Any plans on trying out for the Waterloo Varsity?
Yeah, so I played two exhibition games with them. Again, I wasn't sure if I was going to be playing hockey this year, but then I got an opportunity with them. Hopefully, maybe next year, I could actually be on their team full-time once I'm done junior, but they've got a very, very full roster this year, so it's unlikely I'll get an opportunity. But yeah, hopefully next year I'll get to play with them and maybe close it out with them for the rest of my university career.
Yeah, Canadian University hockey is very high caliber. People have it, their community, they should get out there and support it for sure. Now, in your experience in Tier 2 Junior A, you won a Dudley Hewitt as a Ontario Junior Hockey League Championship. What was that season like?
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate to get that. I was in university full-time playing with Caledonia, and then when we got beat out, I had already signed midway through the season to be an AP for my old Trenton team. So when we got beat out, it just kind of, the timing worked out great because I was finished my co-op and they called me up to play with them for the playoffs. So I got to win a championship to finish out my junior A career, which was amazing. And I did it in my hometown. So and with a lot of my buddies that I played with in the past. So again, so fortunate to get that. We ended up going to Calgary. We didn't close it out there, but still, I mean, to win the OJHL title, that was surreal. So lucky to get that.
Nice. Yeah, you'd already played three seasons with Trenton Golden Hawks, and you being a Belleville guy, that was kind of a hometown team.
Yeah. I mean, it's about 15 minutes away, so. You know, I used to watch the Golden Hawks growing up, and I remember seeing it was so fast, such good hockey, and then I got fortunate enough to play with them. I joined during COVID. That was my first eligible year of junior, and we played a COVID series against the Wellington Dukes, another kind of local team. So that was kind of my first little experience with junior hockey, and then after that, I just stayed with the team, and then again, I was gonna be every year. I was just talking to my sister about this. I'm always about to be done hockey, and then I always find a way of climbing back into it. But yeah, I was going to be done. I went to university, and then a junior B team reached out, and their coach was reaching out to me. Zenon Konopka, you might know, playing in the NHL. He convinced me to play, and you know, luckily I'm very happy I didn't give hockey up. So I'm still playing. So we'll see what happens. Again, this was also going to be my last year, and here I am playing junior C. So we'll see what happens next year.
And what was Zenon Konopka like as a coach? Like, was he a tough character, hard guy, or what?
I think you kind of need that. Definitely a tough character, but man, does he know the game of hockey? I mean, he is. I know he learned a lot from Adam Oates. If you know Zenon, he was a fighter in the NHL, but I mean, he had a very, very successful career in the A, in the minors, and in the OHL, a lot of points. So he knows that aspect of the game, but he also taught me a lot about the physical aspects. So as a coach, he brought a lot of that a lot of that grit, but also a lot of, I mean, he was, I think, second all time, maybe first for second all time for faceoffs in the NHL. So I mean, he's definitely got some skill to his game, but yeah, as a coach, just a great, funny guy, brought a lot of character to the team. He's taught me a lot of skills. I met him when I was in the OHL playing for Niagara. I just built a good connection with him, and then we just kind of stayed in contact, and then he told me he was coaching Junior B. He's calling me all summer, and I was like, no, Zen, I don't think I'm going to be playing. I think I'm done this year. And then finally gave in, and I played with him and played for him, and yeah, again, played with Caledonia for another year after that, and then here I am playing Junior C. So, yeah, just he kind of dragged me back into the hockey career, and I'm pretty fortunate for that.
Caledonia often, sometimes people joke that some years they have basically an OHL level caliber team, and put together by a Mike Bullard, who some people know from his NHL days too. You're getting the gesture down there that you got to start getting ready here. So I'm going to leave you with one more question, because you managed to crack the Niagara Ice Dogs back in 21-22 for 20 games. As an undrafted, you weren't drafted into the OHL. So what was your pathway into the Niagara Ice Dogs?
Yeah, so that probably the highlight of my career. Like you said, undrafted. It was pretty upsetting. I mean, going, hoping to be drafted. So many of my teammates got drafted. We had a very, very skillful team. I think about 14 or so, 13 guys got drafted from that hockey team. So to not be drafted was pretty disheartening. But, I, with my agent, they said they talked to Niagara Ice Dogs. And actually, it was going to be Owen Sound, but then that kind of fell through. And then they said I could have an opportunity with Niagara to try out. So, I go there. I have nothing to lose. I wasn't drafted. I have no affiliation with them. So I played like I had nothing to lose, and it just worked out. I had a great, it was so, so exciting. I mean, to be not drafted and then they tell me they want to sign me, such a surprise, super surreal experience. And just so fortunate to get that. Yeah.
So being a walk-on and making an OHL team, that's always a huge accomplishment there. So thanks so much for talking to us, Sammy Douglas Najum. Too bad we couldn't talk longer. It sounds like you have a wealth of stories there that you've built up through your junior career. So thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Have a good game against the Barons there.
All right.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Sammy Douglas Najum. Yeah, it's too bad he had to get ready for the game, in the sense that you could tell he had plenty of more stories from his junior career. As you said, the guy, plenty of experience in Junior B, Tier 2, Junior A, and even OHL. And he seems to be loving life in the PJHL. That particular night, the powerhouse Barons were in town and had a 2-goal lead, but Sammy engineered a comeback for the Walkerton Capitals. He had a goal and 2 assists, and ultimately Walkerton ended up coming back and winning 4-2, and that leaves Sammy with 12 points in his first 7 games in the PJHL, 7 assists, 5 goals. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that interview. and come on out if you're in the area of the Pollock Division, and you can catch some great hockey action in the PGHL. Next up, Tim Woods is going to join me, and we're going to have a hockey card pack break. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, with another edition of Pack Break. Holiday season is fast approaching, so some of you that are hobbyists may get a few things under the tree. In this edition, we're actually going to be doing a box break, and we, being me, Andy Clark, and being joined here by our hockey card guy, Timmy Woods. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
No problem. Hello, everyone.
And so with our box break, I'm actually going to be opening up something I received last Christmas, so it's about time to crack into it. It's a Canadian Hockey League, Upper Deck, 1923-1924. It has seven packs, eight cards per pack. It says we can look for star and star rookie autographs. Some of the notable names in there would be Michael Mezza, Gavin McKenna, Matthew Schaefer. Looks like it says here on the side, you can collect one red star or star rookie card per box on average. So we're looking for some red star or star rookies. And yeah, that looks like the information on the box. We'll get cracking into the box, and hopefully we pull some interesting things to tell you about in just a moment. All right, Tim, we're one pack in each. What have you got of interest so far?
Well, in mine, it was all base cards. There's eight of them within the pack, from what I can see. Some notables, at least for myself, just Owen Sound Attack fan. I have Carter George, so that's a pretty cool pull as far as getting his card. Thunder Bay native. And then I also have Colby Barlow off with the Winnipeg, in the Winnipeg Jets system now, but definitely an excellent player while he was with the Attack.
The Attack, and then off to Oshawa. Yeah, so if you're an Owen Sound Attack fan, those would be probably two of the best cards you could pull out of this grouping. I got all base cards except for one. It's kind of a glossy. It's called The Best Is Yet to Come, and it's one of those shiny ones. Braden Jaeger, Moose Jaw Warriors. So just something of kind of interest there. And then I did on one of the base cards, I got Sudbury Wolves, Alex Ferrand. And to me, that just is of interest because a few weeks ago, I filled in the same night as Game 7 of the Jays World Series. I was pinch hitting with Rogers, Gray County, for that Sudbury Wolves game, and Ferrand was part of that game. So that's why he's on my radar. All right, so Woodsy and I are going to get into our second pack. Okay, I got base cards through mine here, like Marco Mignoza from the Sioux Greyhounds and such. The only card really of interest to me on this one, I got a star rookie, Harry Nancy, who's having a very, very solid year for the Owen Sound Attack, big center. So, yeah, I'm kind of happy to get that rookie card, be it a CHL rookie card, but hopefully he's a Toronto Maple Leaf draft pick. So I think they're pretty happy with how his game has taken a real step up this season. What did you get in your second pack there, Woodsy?
Yeah, my second pack contained mostly just base cards. I did have an insert in there. So they have inserts in the CHL cards. It's a first draft card, a guy named Matteo Norbert. Matteo Norbert. So maybe one day we'll be saying his name much, much more when if he makes it further on from the OHL. And then another one of interest is Florian Jacquet, I believe is how the last name is pronounced. So he, the younger brother, and he just made his way onto the Canadiens roster. Saw him playing last night when they beat the Leafs in the shootout. So that was an interesting pull as well.
Yeah. Our Bergeron guy has been bouncing up and down with the Montreal organization. His older brother brings a little bit of pugnacity.
As does the younger brother.
Yeah, so, they both play that game. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to hit our third pack each here and be right back.
So we're back from our opening of our pack here. And my pack just, again, contained lots of base cards. Interesting, just the design of the card and, you know, nice gloss on them and everything. Not too many players that I recognize. There is a Pasternak in there, not the Boston Bruin Pasternak, but Dawson Pasternak. So I'm not sure. I think the name is actually pronounced or spelt differently, so but pronounced the same. There's a London Knights player here, Kasper Halttunen. I have seen his name and caught some highlights there.
That one was a star rookie, I think, too.
Okay. Yeah. So that was my pack.
Your pack there. So my I got another insert, another kind of glossy one, Future Charge. And coincidentally, it is, again, Braden Jaeger. So Braden Jaeger fans would be delighted with this poll so far, where I got two inserts with that player.
Yes.
Of a base card, I got Anthony Romani here, who was with the North Bay Battalion. And he actually led the OHL in scoring this particular year, as it says on the back of the card. The winger finished the season as the league's leading goal scorer with 58 markers. And that's kind of interesting, because he really wasn't on my radar a whole lot for a guy who led the league in goal scoring. Hmm. But sometimes that happens. You have players that really light it up in the OHL and don't make as much of a ruckus. Some of them bubble up later in pro hockey and some don't. But and then the final one here, there is Maverick Lamoureux from the Drummondville Voltigeurs. This one caught my attention, first of all, because I saw in the back that he was 6'7", 214 pounds. So right shot defenseman, pretty big size. Actually, just this week there, I think with North Bay again, the 7-footer was scheduled to make his debut in the OHL, becoming the tallest junior hockey player in the world there. His name's eluding me off the top of my head there, but that was a headline this week about the 7-foot OHL player. Mm-hmm. But with Maverick here, he was a first-round pick by the Arizona Coyotes a few years back, and he's already made his NHL debut with Utah, which is where Arizona ended up. He's played 18 games over two seasons and has one goal and three assists. So good things to come, probably, when you have a right shot defenseman that's 6'7" and already getting some seasoning in the NHL. So I think we're going to see big things from Maverick Lamoureux, pun intended.
There you go.
All right. So that brings us to our last pack for this box. So we're going to open that right now. We're going to crack that and let's see what we come up with here. Hopefully something cool.
Maybe the autograph they talk about.
Yeah, that would be nice, eh? Mm-hmm. Braden McCollum for the Peets. Donovan Arsenault for Baie-Comeau Drakkar. Jet Luchenko for Guelph Storm. He just got traded for, it was something like nine draft picks or something like that. Him and a couple other players heading over. So yeah, he was just part of a huge trade. I forget who has his NHL rights right now, whether it's Philly or whoever, but he's a prospect anyways. Oh,
there's the autograph.
There it is. There it is. Right behind Lucas Moore of the Brantford Bulldogs. Who do we got here? Martin Rasavy for the Moose Jaw Warriors. Oh. Yeah, and it's right on there. It's not even a redemption or anything. It's there we go. Nice to see. So we got our autograph there. He's followed up here. What else is in the pack? Linus Hemstrom from the Kingston Frontenacs. Noah Reinhart. I wonder if that's related to Sam. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Sobolev from the Niagara Ice Dogs. So there we go. That's definitely the winner of the box so far.
Yeah.
And in our next edition of Hockey Talk, we're going to be back and open the other box and see if it can match the excitement of what we pulled from this box. All right. So thanks for listening to this edition of Pack Break on Hockey Talk. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that pack break with Tim Woods. He'll be back next episode when we open the other box we have of those CHL cards. Now I'm just going to run through brief news and notes where we're going to look at the top scorers in each of the regional junior hockey leagues, starting with the Ontario Hockey League, where the Brantford Bulldogs have a couple of players topping the scoring right now. Mm. Jake O'Brien has 45 points and Adam Benick has 43. They're followed by Nathan Aspinall, who has 41 points. He skates for the Flint Firebirds. And Cole Bedouin of the Barrie Colts also has 41 points. Over in the Tier 2, the Ontario Junior Hockey League, Teo Artichuk has 60 points. He has a fairly solid lead there. He skates for the Trenton Golden Hawks. That's one of the teams that Sammy Douglas Najum played for several years. He was our interview this week, of course. Following at 55 points with skating for the Toronto Patriots is Luciano Bruno. And Hudson Cummings, also of the Toronto Patriots, is in third place with 51 points currently. And yeah, Luciano has 55 and Hudson has 51. In Junior B, the GOHL, some people still remember it as the GOJHL, which they started the season as. Reed Gamage has 50 points for the Cambridge Redhawks. He's been a consistent scorer for the last several years. Sam Tonelli has 43 points for the 40 Erie Meteors. And Austin Pomerleau has 42 points for the London Nationals. Interestingly, there in their top 10 scoring, in sixth place is Jake Ritson of the Strathroy Rockets. He has 39 points in 25 games, but notable there is he is an 09. So, in other words, he's a 16-year-old rookie that's in the top 10 scoring of the Junior B. So it'll be interesting to see where things progress for Jake Ritson of the Strathroy Rockets. Over to the PJHL, Hanover Barons' Alex McGilvery is still in first place out of the, I believe it's 62 teams right now in the PJHL, most teams of any junior league in the world. So Alex has 51 points in 20 games. Spencer Gendahl of the Dundas Blues has 51 points in 25 games. McGilvery has the scoring lead courtesy of having played less games, but also has a couple more goals than Spencer, and that's the other tiebreaker that way. And from the Fergus Whalers, Joey Martin has 50 points in 23 games. So there you have it. There's some of our scoring leaders. And there you have it for our episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure you tune in. We have more great interviews and more great segments coming up in the episodes to follow. And make sure, well, I first of all should make sure I give our thanks here. Thanks to producer Autumn Olivero. Thanks to hockey card guy Tim Woods. Thanks to Jennifer Jaco Photography for our promo picture for this episode. And thanks to Jake Bradigam for setting up our interview this week. And finally, myself, I'm Andy Clark, your host for Hockey Talk. And yeah, tune in for our next episode that'll be coming out soon. And make sure you keep talking hockey.